This is Lynn Suzak. Welcome back to His Ability. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking again with Mark Suzak. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon.
And we are continuing our talk this week, as we have been for a couple weeks now. We've been on the subject of the Holy Spirit. We love to talk about the Holy Spirit. I myself like the subject because as a disabled person, a person in a wheelchair, and a Christian, I find that it's a realm, the spiritual realm is something where I have no limits and I can do all things. And especially with the way that God's been working with us, we are finding more and more that He allows us to do with by the power of the Holy Spirit. So first I want to start with, again, our scripture from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, where it talks about these are the signs that follow those who believe. We will heal the sick and
cast out demons
and raise the dead and heal the sick. And the question is, do you believe? Are you a believer? And if you are you doing these things? So this is my litmus test, I think. I think this is the Bible's litmus test for these are the signs that follow those who believe. People who believe are supposed to be experiencing signs and wonders, right, Mark?
Absolutely.
And what are signs and wonders, do you think?
Well, things that defy the physical world, things right. that don't seem to make sense to our physical minds.
Right, things that don't happen naturally. They're supernatural, right?
Right.
If our audience would go ahead and, if you have a Bible, would you open it to 2 Kings chapter 5? We're going to be looking at this verse in a few minutes as we're talking. Mark's going to go over this example. We would like to talk about, Mark, you know, many churches right now, I think they have reduced the Holy Spirit to a point where He's just a subtle presence of God, you know. And I think in the Bible, it shows the Holy Spirit, whenever it talks about the Holy Spirit's presence, it's pretty powerful. I mean, there's examples of rushing wind and healing and deliverance. And the presence of the Holy Spirit tends to do things that we're not expecting, don't you think?
Yeah, the disciples waiting in the upper room had no idea what was going to happen to them. You know, the Holy Spirit just descended upon them with tongues of fire and overwhelmed them, and they were praying and prophesying. I mean, I'm sure that they did not expect that.
No.
And probably at that moment, I'm sure that they were even being fed thoughts that, you know, is this of God? I'm sure
right.
that doubt was creeping in as well.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord told Joshua to march around Jericho 7 times, I mean, here's the king, basically the leader of the Israelite army, military-wise, and this is the attack information that the Lord gave him, is you're going to march around this
right.
this castle with the ark 7 times over the next 7 days. I mean, what kind of an attack is that?
It's almost as if God wants to make sure we know that it's Him.
He is
by
in charge.
Telling us to do something that is foolish in our minds.
Exactly.
It can't possibly be anything that we did if we do, you know, if we do what He's telling us to do, then we know it's God. He's got to prove it.
And I think part of our problem in churches today is we don't want to let go of our control of the world, if you will, and allow God in.
Mm-hmm.
When we start to see things that are happening that are different or that seem like this is not normal, we tend to shy away from that. That's not comfortable. We don't
mm-hmm.
want to continue in that. And so, you know, if you have somebody who stands up in the middle of a church and they're just overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit and they start speaking in tongues, there's a lot of churches that would want to whisk that person away to a back room. What
right.
are you doing? This is not normal.
Right.
This is
and
not part
anything
of
out of order, and it's not part of the agenda. And the Holy Spirit does not, you know, doesn't like to
He doesn't conform
be boxed
to us.
In.
That's right.
And God God does change our agenda a lot of times right in the middle of our plan. We can plan it out, but, you know, when God's taking over in a church, we get uncomfortable and we're out of, you know, it's not going according to plan. But if we want more of God, we have to look back in the Bible and become familiar with how things really work when God is moving.
That's right.
Because you have to sort of begin to get get comfortable with something that's not comfortable. And either you want more of the Holy Spirit or you don't. And unfortunately, a lot of the churches nowadays are going, you know what? We don't want that in our church.
Because it's weird or it's different and people are acting in ways that we... You know, part of the problem is how we respond to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, remember, God is a gentleman and mm-hmm. he's patient and loving and he's not going to overwhelm you. But if you receive him and you become overwhelmed in a way that, you know, this is an experience I've never felt before, you might start doing things that are not necessarily of the Holy Spirit because our responses to him may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
An example might be laughing out of control or hysterically running around the church or something like that. However, inside you might feel like doing that, but the Spirit is... the prophet has control over the Spirit. There's mm-hmm. a verse that says, so that means I don't have to allow the Spirit to completely overwhelm me to where I'm, you know, doing weird things, running around and doing antics or whatever. But where we were going with this is that a lot of times what God is doing is not what we imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And what the way God is healing is not necessarily the way we would imagine him healing. And that's why we had you go to 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read a little segment here, starting with verse 4. Naaman is he's a commander of the army of Aram, and he has he's a leper. And Naaman went to his master and told him, reading from verse 4, told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of leprosy." So here Naaman went to the king of Aram and he said, you know, basically, give me permission to go to the king of Israel and get healed because I hear there's healings going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like there's healings going on in Florida. Right.
Right?
And so he grabbed all this stuff, probably.
Right. Right. Imagine us getting onto a plane.
Right.
Going there, going, okay, expect him to lay hands on me and I get healed.
Right. So Naaman shows up and gives this letter to the king of Israel. And in verse 7, it says, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? So here's this king of Israel going, well, what do you want me to do about it? I can't heal you. And so Elisha, the man of God, he's the prophet at the time serving this king of Israel. He heard that the king tore his robes in verse 8. He says, and he sent the king this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. So here Naaman, who first went to the king. The king says, I can't do nothing for you. But the king receives a messenger from the prophet and says, come to the prophet's house and we're going to take care of you. We're going to heal you. So here Naaman shows up. He's got all his gifts, you know, his silver, his gold, his clothing. And,
mm-hmm.
and he's like got it in his mind how this healing is going to take place.
Right.
And the prophet doesn't even come to him. The prophet doesn't even talk to him. He sends a messenger. Go over there and wash up and you'll be healed. Now, here's an example of a man who has a thing in his mind of how he's going to be healed, a sequence of events, and that's not the way God wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
God sends him over to a river to be washed. So here's
and so it's a humbling experience.
Yeah, yep, you got to do what I want you to do,
right.
Not what you expect. So here's the response. But Naaman went away angry in verse 11,
mm-hmm.
and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was going to do these sets of procedures
A,
that I expected.
B, C,
That's
D.
Right. And that didn't happen.
Right.
That's God didn't do what I expected. So this can't be of God, right?
Right, right.
And this is what our churches are doing today.
Right.
This, if it's something that's not expected, they reject it. But as we read on, this man actually does get cured of his leprosy. He does finally humble himself and go cleanse himself in the river. So that was, I thought this.
So his first reaction is still forgivable, but it is common that we react that way.
Perfect example. I think in order to be healed, I'm going to walk up to the altar. They're going to sprinkle some oil on my head. They're going to say a few words, and I'm all done. Well, what if that's not what God has in mind?
Mm-hmm.
What if God has you doing something really strange,
mm-hmm.
like going and washing yourself in a river seven times,
right.
or putting mud over your eyes and going to the pool of Shalom, or whatever he has in mind for you?
And we have a whole list here of weird things that God could call you to do based on what's in Scripture. We wanted to list some of these. In the Old Testament, a man was told to marry a prostitute.
Yeah.
God did that. Jesus put mud in a man's eyes to heal him. Spit in the mud and put mud in his eyes. Okay, that's not something that we expect. Moses was told to strike a rock for water.
Yeah.
You know, when God does a miracle, he wants you to step out and do what he's telling you to do. He's all about obedience. So
I think he does it that way on purpose, like you said, so that you can't justify it in your mind and go, well, it was the medicine I took, or it was you know, the diet that I changed.
And he does it so many different ways so that we can't say, well, see, in order to heal a guy of blindness, I go out and spit in the mud and put it in their eyes.
Right.
No, we got to do what he's telling us to do. You got to get familiar with God's voice, with the Holy Spirit, and what he's saying at that moment. So that's the key. Elijah, well, we already said about Elijah with washing seven times. Anyway, the one more thing, Rahab was commended for lying about the spies that were sent in, and that's out of the ordinary too.
She's listed as being faithful because of that.
Right, and we don't normally commend lying at all,
right.
But she was protecting the spies, right. And God counted.
There's
that.
No rules. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit.
That's that, right.
That's the way it goes.
Right. So we thank you for listening, and we'll go on with whatever God leads us to talk about next week. Thanks for joining us.